So for Christianity, the saints represent the point of it all, the transformation of human life and human freedom. And so saints' days enter into the celebration of liturgical year. And with this develops the notion of the communion of saints. So part of the Christian story, part of the Christian experience, is to be part of a family. The letter to the Hebrews talks about a cloud of witnesses who in fact are bound together through this process of sanctification. Those who are struggling here and those who have already accomplished this. And this is why in Christian piety we have the development of patron saints. Almost as within Greco-Roman polytheism, one would appeal to an individual god or goddess as a particular patron, so within Christianity, one would turn to a particular person, Mary, Jesus' mother, Saint Ignatius, Saint Polycarp, as particular patrons who would be of assistance in this same process of transformation. Along with the sanctification of time, through worship, through the sacraments, through the liturgical year, there was also the sanctification of space, which follows from this. As I've suggested, this is found, first of all, in the architecture of the church itself, in which you have a space which is holy, to be sure, but rather more profane, the nave, but then the apse, or the sanctuary, where the place where the actus, the liturgical action, takes place, is more holy. Churches, even once they begin to be built by Christians themselves, even begin to show orientation, that is, to point in the direction of another holy place, namely Jerusalem. So you've got this spatial directedness of Christian architecture. And already in the 4th century, we see the development of pilgrimage, that is, the notion that it might be important to go to a place other than one's own, which is holier than one's own, and therefore one would participate in the power in that place that is less in one's own. Fascinating Christian writing from the 4th century is called the Pilgrimage of Egira. This is a Spanish nun, Spanish woman religious, who with a band of other women go on a trip, believe it or not, to the Holy Land. which is what they call it. And they visit Mount Sinai, and there's a tour guide who shows them the sites. They visit Jerusalem to see the places where Jesus dies, and Egira wants to go to Tarsus in Cilicia, not because she wants to see the tomb of St. Paul, but because she wants to see the tomb of St. Thecla, the patroness of women. And we see a sort of a very interesting proto-feminism within Christianity with Egira. But this theme of pilgrimage grows in popularity through the ages and continues to today. Pilgrimage to Rome, pilgrimage to other holy places. A further development of the sanctification of space is worship that would take place at the tombs of the martyrs. Again, these, since the martyrs were holy people, sanctified through their witness, then the place where they died or the place where they were buried must have more power. And so Christians would gather there, celebrate the Eucharist at those places, burn candles, and have pilgrimage to those sites. A further extension of this, you see how this grows. The further extension of this are relics. That is, if the place is holy, then if I touch the place with a physical object, or better yet, if I have a piece of bone of the martyr, or a piece of cloth that touched the martyr, or the spot, then I can carry that somewhat as a good luck charm, as something holy that I can put in a bracelet, put around my neck as a sort of an amulet. So we see this continuous expansion. Finally, holy icons or holy pictures of saints and of Jesus, which are thought to communicate the divine. So the establishment of Christianity made a difference. It made a difference in terms of Christianity's place in the world, politically, But it also enabled Christianity to begin to create a distinctively Christian culture through the multiple ways of sanctifying both space and time.